tonight. So Mission Air Care is a unique ministry. If you hadn't figured that out by now, I do want to tell you just a little bit more about it. We're going to be in 2 Peter chapter number 3 when we get into the preaching of the Word of God tonight. Do want to encourage you to follow along. There's only 18 verses. We're going to read them all. But 2 Peter chapter number 3, while you're turning your Bibles, let me tell you a little bit more about Mission Air Care. Mission Air Care, like the video had said, was started in 2001. But in 2016, the Lord knit my heart and Brother Earl's heart together to expand the ministry to beyond what it could previously have been. That fancy white airplane that you saw as the photos came up of relocating to Washington, North Carolina, let me brag on God for just a minute, because God can supply every need that we have to serve Him. Okay, God's not going to give you things because you're greedy, because you desire things that would be fulfilling or some sort of desire that you have. When the Bible says that God gives us the desire of our heart, it's not that God gives you what you desire, because you and I need to understand the Bible says the heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So God's not going to give us those things we desire. He's going to put in us, as we strive to serve God, a desire for those things that are God-honoring. So God gave us the desire to serve Him in Mission Aviation, and then over the years in the military, He equipped me to do that. Now, God supplied in Mission Air Care through the airplane. It started with that single-engine Cessna 206. Does anybody in here know what an airplane looks like? All right, good. I'm not trying to, believe me, I'm just joking with you. Has anybody flown in an airplane that doesn't have jet engines on it? It's got those props out there that go, right? All right, so how about a single prop-driven airplane? 6 seats or less. That's a tiny airplane. Amen. Most airplanes that are 4 seats or less on a hot day are 2 seats or less, right? But anyway, that Cessna 206 was a very capable aircraft for what God had the Malpas family to do when they first started. But as the ministry grew and the need grew, the airplane had to get bigger. Well, the Cessna 206 was paid for. God supplied for that. So God provided a greater need. Therefore, God supplied the greater need. Long story short, we had a Christian businessman in Pennsylvania who said, you know, I believe it was Pennsylvania. I'll have to go back and check my notes. It won't matter. I'll call you at 2 o'clock this morning, tomorrow morning, let you know. Had a Christian businessman called up the ministry, was looking for a mission aviation organization to give an airplane to because the airplane that he bought didn't fit his need. What a bummer. The airplane you buy doesn't fit your need. So he decides he wants to donate it to a 501c3 mission aviation organization that he can get the tax write-off, and then he's going to go buy a new airplane. Well, fantastic. So he gives us his airplane, and if you know anything about airplanes, it was a Piper Aerostar, a 720P. It's a very delicate aircraft, not to be flown on dirt roads and gravel runways and hauling a bunch of kids in and out, taking them to camp, because that's the only way, by the way, that they get around in Alaska is by flight up in the northern regions off the road system. So you got a very delicate aircraft that you're essentially putting a bunch of kids into. And I don't know if any of you remember or you currently have kids and they climb in your car. They're not the most delicate things when they get in the car, let alone this very soft airplane. So it wasn't a good thing to have that airplane. So Brother Earl called the man back and said, I appreciate the donation, he said, but we can't really use it. So I want to bring it back to you, let you have it back, do what you want with it. He said, I don't think you understand. I gave you that airplane. You do what you want with it. Well, that airplane was valued at about $280,000, and we sold it. Now, we had a smaller baby Navajo. It's not as well equipped as the one we have now. But that money that we gained from selling the airplane that was given to us, along with selling this 206, we were able to purchase the current airplane we have, and that airplane is paid for. That airplane's value is about $340,000, and it's paid off. Now, again, God just supplies. So the Lord also supplied a $70,000 airplane. Another Cessna 206 will be outfitting for a missionary in Fairbanks. It cost $70,000 in its current state. We bought it for $12,000. So we saved $58,000 on an airplane that was valued on the street at $70,000. When we get done putting getting it equipped for the missionary in Alaska, getting some upgrades done, avionics and bigger tires and things that allow him to land on rocky surfaces. It'll be valued at about $120,000, but we're only going to have about 50 into it, including purchase of the airplane as well as the upgrades. So there's a missionary that has a $90,000 airplane. He's going to sell that, buy the $50,000 twice the size airplane, be able to use it in a greater capacity, and have $40,000 he can put back into the ministry. God is supplying, and God is equipping, and God is, I pray, calling more people to missions. I dare say that there may be somebody tonight in this service who has, the Holy Spirit has said, I want you to surrender your life, but you're saying, no, I can't. I'm going to have to leave my family. I'm going to have to leave everything I know, and I'm going to uproot everything I've got. Sell it all, perhaps, and go to a foreign field, go to a field that's so isolated, so remote, I just don't know if I can do that. Well, you just keep praying that God would give you the faith to obey the calling that he's placed on your life. He's not going to go away. He's going to keep pricking your heart. He's going to keep sending people like me by, and he's going to keep prodding you, saying, hey, I need you to go. I need you to go. I need you to go. I could tell you the thousands of lives that are lost every day, the thousands of people that step into eternity without Christ. But God may be calling some young person here tonight to go out and serve him on the mission field. You got a lot of training to do. It took a long time for me to become a pilot and do what I'm about to go do. So it's not without education. It's not without hard work. But it's worth it. Amen. Mission Air Care is a threefold organization. We have flight training, flight support, and that's really what I'm bringing to the table. We have a maintenance facility that, like I talked about, we outfit the missionaries with airplanes. We just saved a missionary $7,000 back in September by flying a mechanic to Alaska. He didn't have to pay an annual inspection on that little Cessna 182 that he's flying. It's about a 70-hour inspection. At $100 an hour for a mechanic, it's a $7,000 investment just for the guy to do the work, not including parts and labor. It's very expensive, but now he didn't have to pay that $7,000 because we flew a mechanic to him. And it only cost about $1,200 round trip. So we saved him essentially $5,800. So God again, he supplies, he meets the needs. So we've got our flight training, we've got our aviation, or our maintenance side of it, and the flight support. And then the third thing that God is equipping, again, I told you that God supplied, God equipped. I spent 20 years in the military, and while I was in the military, in the Army, they taught me how to inspect, repair, and maintain, and certify shipping containers. 20 foot, 40 foot, it doesn't matter. Now, I don't know if you've ever had the blessing of going to a foreign mission field and shipping all your household goods to that mission field, but that's quite an arduous process. And a missionary who's on deputation raising support, they're worried about how am I going to get my stuff from where it's at now to Zambia, Africa. I'll take care of it. I shipped an entire medevac company when I was flying helicopters. You saw the one in the video. I shipped an entire medevac company through the system that exists. It's not like I did it all on my own and rented the boat and hauled it all over there. I didn't do any of that. But through the system that exists in the military, the same system exists in the civilian world because we used it. We'll get the container. We'll have all of their goods at the missionary's home, wherever it's at. We just stayed with a missionary family from Baptist Missions to Forgotten People last night in Knoxville, Tennessee. Now, they have all their household goods. They're going to Germany. How's it going to get boxed up and shipped to Germany? I'll do it. I know where they're going. I know where they're at. So we'll show up to their home with a moving company. We'll box everything up. We'll put it on the truck. We'll bring it to North Carolina. We'll put it in a container. We'll get the container inspected, sealed, certified, and sent to the port. We'll put it on a boat and send it to them in Germany. All they have to do is give me the key to their house. You know, God supplies. And through the military, I learned how to do all that. It's not a big deal. Well, it would have been 20 years ago. I'd have looked at you like a deer in the headlights. What are you talking about? But God supplied. So I want to encourage you with something tonight. And again, all I want to do in the message tonight is remind you of some things that you have already heard. Okay? Remind you of some things that you've already heard. And as we're going to see here in 2 Peter chapter 3, there's a term called stirring. If you ever let water, and I went through survival school in the military, and we used to have to get water out of a pond, and then we'd just take the water and we'd let it sit. And what happens is it starts to separate into its different elements, and you find, I don't think I really want to drink that anymore. And maybe I can just skim that stuff off the top and drink the stuff in the middle and dump the rest of it. I don't know what to do. But anyway, so what do you do? What do you do to make it palatable? You shake it up, and then you just drink it. You know what's in there. There's nothing you haven't seen before. It's dirt, it's twigs, it's rocks, it's bugs. That's protein. But all I want to do tonight is stir some things up. Some things you've already seen, some things you've already heard, some things that no doubt your pastor has preached to you. But I would be remiss if I did not first thank the pastor for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for the open pulpit. Thank you for the accommodations. The accommodations we're in tonight, Pastor, are about, it's a mansion. We live in a Class A motorhome. It's about 21 square feet of living space. I don't know how big it is. It's about 21 square feet of living space, and that's our home. We got rid of everything. We moved into that, and it's a blessing. But what we're in tonight, being able to spread out, and we spread out. I mean, those two rooms just looked like a hurricane went through there when we got out. We'll be sure to straighten it up. But thank you so much for that. Thank you for the hospitality. Thank you for the open door to be here. And thank you, church, for showing up tonight. My family's heard me preach over and over and over again. And if it was just my family and the pastor, I'd still preach. But it's a lot better to have a congregation to preach to. So thank you for being here tonight. I hope you're excited to hear something from the Bible, from the Word of God. I've got about a half an hour to knock this thing out. And I don't use sports analogies because I don't know anything about sports. We drove up past we drove up through Cincinnati, or around Cincinnati anyway, on our way up here from Knoxville today, and they had this big old stadium out there, and they said, "Well, Dad, what's that for?" I said, "I don't know. Probably some sports team of some kind, football, baseball, something or other." I said, "I don't think they build a stadium that big as an opera house because the ceiling's open, so that doesn't work out." But it was the Cincinnati Bengals. Anybody know who they are? All right. They're in the World Cup down there, FIFA, right? No? I don't know anything about sports. But I'm going to hope to knock this one out of the park, whatever that means. I've heard other men who follow sports say that, so if that's a good thing, that's what I want to do tonight. If it's not a good thing, just put that out of your mind. I did not say that, okay? 2 Peter chapter 3, let's look at verse number 1. Follow along as we read. There's only 18 verses. I don't know what Bible you're holding in your hand, but I've only got 18 verses in mind. If you got 19, well, read your other one after church. I'm going to stop at verse 18, okay? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1, the Bible says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust." Folks, can I ask you tonight, real quick, as I interject something here, can I ask you to pray for your pastoral staff, pray for your pastor, pray for your assistant pastor, because the scoffers walking after their own lusts, that's who they have to deal with on a daily basis. People who say, "Well, Pastor, I just feel." That's fine. And I'm going to use another sports analogy, a boxing analogy. I'm going to take the gloves off for just a minute. Your pastor's got to reach people who come to him and say, "Well, I don't feel that that's what I should do." Folks, if it's straight from the Bible, you can't argue with it. You got to take God's word as what it is, and we'll get to it in just a minute. I'm going to show you what God's word is, and it's one simple word. I'm not going to reveal it to you tonight. God's word is one simple thing that you and I can all remember. But pray for your pastor, pray for your pastoral staff, pray for anybody that's going to go out and knock on a door and say, "Good afternoon. My name is Chris, and I'm out from Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church just down the road here on 13th Street, 11th Street. I knew it was a number. We're off the 13th. Down here on 11th Street, and I want to invite you out to church. Because there's going to be somebody saying, I don't need to go to church. And down there in southern Arizona, they would say, well, I can go up here in the hills. We were up in the high desert there, south of Tucson. Anybody know where Arizona is? Okay, good. Two of you. Three of you. Four. Good. Anybody know where Tucson, Arizona is? Don't go there. It's hot. All right? But an hour south of Tucson, it's actually 20 degrees cooler in the summer than it is in Tucson. It's about 75 to 80 down in Sierra Vista, Arizona. Great church down there. A little plug for Mountain Vista Baptist Church. If you're ever lost and you find your way down in Sierra Vista, Arizona, go visit Mountain Vista Baptist Church. Tell Pastor Robert Perry I said hello. But we go out knocking on doors and we tell folks, we invite them to church. And they say, well, I go up here in the mountains and worship. That's my church. Well, that's fine, I suppose. But the Bible says, Hebrews 10:24 talks about the ecclesia, the called out assembly. It's important to be in the house of God. Amen. We come into the house of God on the first day of the week to worship God. And the pastor talked about it tonight, and I thought that was very pointed. He said, we're going to worship God in your giving. Because that is a form of worship. It's an amazing thing. But anyway, back to the lesson. The pastor showed me a picture of a deer. I chase rabbits all the time. And my son shot a jackrabbit while we were in New Mexico. I don't think he'll ever shoot another one because he didn't like the taste of it. But he's going to eat it if he's going to kill it. So I had to show him how to clean it. Did you know that rabbit eyes have a lot of electrolytes in them? They do. Honest. They have a lot of electrolytes in them. So if you ever find yourself in a survival situation and feeling dehydrated, go get you some of that good pond water, all right, and then kill your rabbit and suck the eyeball out of his head, and you get a lot of electrolytes in your body. I promise, folks, I'm not... Hey, I wouldn't lie to you, okay? I don't know if your pastor lies to you. No, I'm just kidding. But he shot a jackrabbit, and I chase rabbits all the time. I'm going to try to come back to the main trail here. Look at verse number 4. We continue, as the Bible says, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, well, we'll talk about that here for just a minute, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. And you've probably heard this verse over and over and over again. I hope you have it memorized, because this refutes some false biblical teaching about the idea that God's going to choose some for salvation and choose some for hell. We'll let your pastor preach on that subject another day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Folks, I'm a simple man. The word any includes everybody, and the word all includes everybody. Not selection, not election, but any and all can come to Christ. To verse number 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth the righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things, not everything, but are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as though they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And verse number 18 is another popular verse. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we sure do love you, Lord. And we've got about 15 minutes in which we need the Holy Spirit of God to speak through me, to impress upon our hearts, Lord, to open our ears, our minds, and our desire, Lord, to learn from you. I pray, Lord, that we'd listen intently to what you'd have to say to us in these next few moments, Lord, that we might glean something from the Word of God and make an application to our lives. And we'll give you the praise and glory for whatever happens. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3, a simple stirring, taking the gospel to those who've never heard, preaching to those who don't know his name, planting churches for those who are saved or who will get saved, teaching the whole counsel of God's word, and living the biblical Christian life are not just the responsibility of your pastor, not just the responsibility of the missionary, not just the responsibility of those spiritual leaders within your church. They are the responsibility of every church, every ministry, and every believer to take part in. But church, let me encourage you with this thought. They can only be done by God and God's way. If we try to accomplish anything outside of the will of God, it's not going to happen. We're going to accomplish it in our own flesh, and it's going to fail. We're going to accomplish it in our own efforts, and we're going to get burnt out. We're going to accomplish things apart from God, and therefore will last nothing for eternity. Everything we do must be done by God and God's way. Let me give you an example. Back in Genesis chapter number 1, what happened, church? Genesis 1 and 2 and part of 3, what happened? God's creation. Your pastor, in all of his study, that's deep theology. We go back to Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? You've heard of Ken Ham and the Ark encounter. I got a glimpse of it as we drove by on our way up this morning. There it was out in the field in the middle of nowhere, Kentucky. There was a giant boat. That was really cool because it was a visual application of what I read in the scriptures. It's really cool. We're going to get a chance to go back there and see it at some point. I don't know. It's going to cost us about $8,000 with the size of our family to get in there, but we're going to save up. Amen. It'll be fun. But way back in Genesis 1, we find the creation of the world. You know, the amazing thing, young people, listen. The amazing thing is, you go back, and how many times in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 did God say something and it happened? And God said, let there be light. And it was so. And God said, and this is where we talked here in 2 Peter 3. He said that the heavens were divided. He says here, I'm sorry, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word of God, it talked about the division, verse number 5. It says, the earth standing out of the water and in the water. This is crazy. Go back to Genesis 1. You'll find that God divided the waters from the waters. There was a canopy over the earth. And like I said, church, this is nothing new. I'm getting to something with this. There was a canopy over the earth. A water canopy. Created a lot of pressure. And when things are under a lot of pressure and they have to grow, they get stronger. You ever heard the analogy of taking a bird out of its egg before it's ready? That bird is very weak, it's frail, it's fragile, it's going to die because it needs that resistance of the shell to build its strength as it develops. Well, man, when we're created inside of that canopy. That's why we can have Adam, huge, Goliath, huge. We can have men that were larger than what they are now. You go to regions of the world where there's less ozone layer, and you'll find that those people are typically smaller. You go down to Central America, and you find that most of those people, I'm 6'2", and you'll have your anomalies, you know. Pastor, how tall are you, 6'4"? Yeah. I had to look up to them. I don't usually have to look up to many people. It's usually eye level or smaller. Now, I'm only 6'2". But you go down to Central America, you go over to Okinawa, Japan, where I was stationed in the Marine Corps, and you got little people. Little people. How tall are you, brother? Amen. All right. But you got people that are smaller. Well, here God designed the world because that's the way he wanted things to be. And he divided the waters from the waters. And then eventually those waters broke up. And it started to do this thing they'd never seen before. And people in Arizona have never seen this before. And people in New Mexico have never seen this before. But it started to rain. What? You guys get rain all the time. It started to rain. And then the fountains of the deep broke up. And it just started to flood the earth. That's why we read there in verse number 6, whereby the world that was, that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Creation happened by God in 7 literal days, 24 hours in the day, happened by God, God's way. Salvation. According to John chapter 3 and verse number 16, the most memorized verse by both lost and saved people, no doubt, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Verse number 17, though, is an often missed verse. So turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3. Let's look at verse number 17. I want to share this with you very quickly as we continue on. God does it God's way. It has to happen by God and God's way. The Bible says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Salvation happened by God and God's way. Creation happened by God and God's way. Well, let's look at this other thought about redemption. Salvation, we talk about all the time. That's a person putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for their salvation and accepting his shed blood as an atonement, as the payment for their sin debt, which, by the way, the Bible tells us. Matter of fact, I'm going to do a pop quiz. You ever do this with your teens, brother? Pop quiz. Bible. No! Yeah. What does Romans 3:23 say? You must be some kind of pastor's kid or something. I don't know. No. No. Okay, what's Romans 6:23 tell us? No, that's 3:23. You got that one right. Romans 6:23. No, you're right. I'm sorry. You're right. I was thinking ahead. Go ahead. Say that again. Romans 3:23 says, yeah, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, it is the one, amen. There you go, but God commendeth. I want to demonstrate something with probably, let me look around, I need one of the most apathetic, brother, I'm going to call them out so you don't have to point them out, okay? One of the most apathetic. You know what that means? Someone who just don't care. I'm going to call them out. No, I'm not. Hey, I don't know. I don't know. I was standing up there, and this guy right here, he's pointing you out, brother, but nope. All right. I'm going to borrow two of you. I'm going to borrow this one right here in the hood. Can I get you to come up here? Come on. The one in the hood. Now, what do I got here? Yep, that'll work. All right, what's your name? DeAndre? All right, are you sure? Tell me your name again with some confidence. There you go, DeAndre. And I'm going to borrow this young lady right here in the purple jacket. What's your name, young man, young lady? I'm sorry? Marianne? Marianne and DeAndre. Marianne, do you want $5 or $10? Come on. She said, "I don't really care." Ask me. Five or ten? Got a little lady pick for it. All right. Pick one. No, pick one. Pick one. All right. Check this out. All right, I need y'all to come over here. What I want is DeAndre to stand right. Would you say five? You said five? Okay, I need, what's your name again? Marianne. What is it? Very good. What is it? Are you sure? I'm getting some volume out of you finally. What is it? There we go. Very good. You sure? What's her name? What's his name? Are you sure? Okay. What do I have in my hand? Money, 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 right? Now, the Bible says what in Romans 5:8? What's your name, young lady? Close. We're getting there. My big focus is that word you already said anyway, Camilla. What's your name? Callie? Like California Callie? But spelled completely different probably, right? All right. Callie. How old are you, Callie? Ooh. Hey, I know it's not polite for a gentleman to ask a lady her age. You're young enough, I'll ask you until you're probably 40. After about 40, I'll get slapped, right? But anyway, Callie says that Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us. DeAndre, do you have any idea? Can you define here, speak in the microphone, can you define that word commendeth? All right, good. I'm glad you can't define it because I'm going to demonstrate it, okay? It's a simple thing to understand. It's a big word, right? What do we call that, church? Old English, right? Old English. Well, it's too hard for me to understand. Nope. I'm going to show you what it means. You know what that means? I'm going to commend it. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Callie, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. DeAndre, you know what that means? Christ died for you? That means he did what you should have done. It's pretty cool. He died. You should have died. Why, Callie? Because Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Why did God have to die? Because Romans 6:23, Callie, says, hey, I only got 8 minutes. Let's go speed this thing up. There you go. Good. A little help from your teacher there. For the wages of sin is death, DeAndre. Death. God said, you're going to die because you sin. But, what was your name again? Marianne, you remind me of a young lady, last name of Thompson. I'll tell you about it later if we have time. That's okay, though. Marianne, the Bible says, but God commendeth, he demonstrated. God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So then we're going to go on. Callie, you ready? Pop quiz. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13 tells us what? For whosoever shall call. Very good. But how do we call upon him to get saved? Very good. Say that again. Very good. All right, we're going to pray. Because God offers this thing as a free gift. You believe that? Salvation is free. And church, for those theologians out in the audience, what does Ephesians 2:8-9 say? For by grace are you saved through... Say faith real loud. Go ahead. Faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a...
Gift.
Gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Are you nervous? I am nervous. I just happen to have a microphone, so I get bold when I get a microphone. It's a free gift, DeAndre. Free. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So God stands here and says, it's yours. I offer it to you. This $10 bill could be yours. It's freely offered. Do I know you? Did you come cut my grass yesterday? Man, I don't have grass. I live in an RV. My grass is asphalt, right? Did you come wash my windows in my car yesterday? But I'm offering you a $5 bill for free. You didn't do anything to earn it. It's offered to you for free. Right now, it's being offered. What makes it yours? They're going to help you out. What is it? What do they have to do, church? They have to reach out and take it. Hey, I'm not going to come snatch this back out of your hand later. It's yours if you reach out and take it. Take it. Now put it in your pocket before I take it back. No. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth in that while we, church, we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Us. I'm learning sign language. My wife's helping me. That's us. This is we. I don't know what our is. The wages of sin is death, my friend, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Have a seat. Church, creation happened God's way. It can only be done by God and God's way. Salvation is done by God and God's way. Redemption, being bought back, can only be done by God and God's way. The amazing thing is, here's where we get sticky. Ooh. Here's this word. Oh, you got a giant clock in the back. I don't need my watch off. Fantastic. All right, pastor said I have to be done by 8:30 tomorrow. I'm going to share this last thought with you, and I'll tell you, this is my notes for tonight. We're right. This is page one. We're right there. All right. So I'm going to share this last thought with you, being a good steward of your time and my kids' stomachs, because they're hungry. If creation happened by God and God's way, if salvation was accomplished by God and God's way, if redemption is accomplished by God and God's way, I got to share this with you. I've got time real quick. If you can turn in your Bibles real quick to Ephesians chapter 1. What did I do with my glasses, DeAndre? You take those two? Man, I gave you $10, man. Take my glasses. Where'd he go? There you are. When you get old, man, you got to get these things. Was that you? Who said amen? That kid sitting behind you? What's your name? No, it was my son. You laughed. You didn't say amen. You were in agreement, though. I know. All right. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. We're going to blow through this one, folks. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. I'm sure that as much preaching as y'all have heard over these last few years that you've been in attendance, I know since 2002 and the pastor's been here, I'm sure he's touched on this. But Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, the Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Paul was not an apostle because he wanted to be. I'm sorry for those who are out there in the world who claim to be an apostle, but the apostleship is something that's deemed by God because they walked with God and God called them personally. So your pastor will preach on that another day. I'll get into the rest of it. By the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you. He goes through his normal introduction saying, look, I'm not trying to write this to be heavy on your heart, but there's some things we got to figure out. We got to correct this. He says in verse number 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Again, by God, God's way. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated, oh man, there it is, Pastor. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace. Praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Folks, don't be afraid of that word predestinated. Let me explain something to you very quickly. This is deep, okay? I've studied long and hard to give you this truth. God is bigger than you. You and I are within the confines of a 24-hour day, 7 days a week, 365 plus or minus a day a year, depending on whether or not you have a leap year, 365 days a year. You and I have a lifespan. Somewhere in the Bible it mentions 70, around 70, but that's a whole other issue for another day. Where some people live to be, we just had Barbara Bush died at 92. Wow, what an amazing life she lived for 92 years, nearly a century. God is eternal. How is that even possible? He's God. I don't know. Can you explain it? Can you explain eternity? I can. You ready? Here we go. God said, I am. Past, I am. Present, I am. Future, I am. How can God, in eternity past, know that Jesus Christ was going to have to die and shed his blood for the sin of man and shed his blood for my sin 2,000 years after he died? Because God is outside of time. God can see Adam and Eve eating that fruit right now. God can see me standing on this platform preaching the Word of God right now. God can see the return of Christ in the clouds to gather the church together to be with him in the air, can see the 7 years of tribulation, the millennial reign of God with the saints, and then eventually the end of 2 Peter 3, where fire is going to destroy the earth. He can see all of that. How? He's God. He's God. So is it a difficult thing for God to have foreknowledge of those who are going to get saved and who aren't? No, because he can see the future. Let me ask you, though, this. Do you know? Because I don't know. It may be your neighbor that needs salvation, and God wants you to be the mouthpiece to go hand him a gospel tract and say, can I invite you to church this Sunday? Can I invite you to our revival services that are coming up? I don't know. Maybe that's what God wants. But here's the amazing thing, and I'll finish with this thought, church. Sanctification. I need some small people. Well, maybe not so small. Who's the guy in the Michigan Wolverine shirt? Come on up here. How old are you? 18. All right. You ever been moved by somebody? Physically moved? Okay. Stand right there for a minute. Now I'm going to need your help. How much do you weigh? 180 pounds. You want to throw me on your back then? I'm only 240, okay? Sanctification. You know what sanctification means?
No.
Anybody in this group in the front want to help with what the word sanctification means? You ever been fireman carried before? You ever been fireman carried before? Like I'm going to throw you over my shoulder and move you.
Yes.
Okay, good. All right, I'll try not to hurt you. What's your name?
Thomas.
Thomas. What does the word sanctification, Mr. I want to laugh at this old man who has to get his glasses. What does the word sanctification mean? Close. We're going to talk about that. I'll talk about that another day. Next time I come back, if I ever get invited back. Sanctification means set apart. Set apart. I'm going to remind you of a verse, church. I'm going to give you an illustration. I'm going to pray, turn the service back over to the pastor. Sanctification means set apart. What does Romans chapter... You ready? You ready? I'm going to get this reference wrong. No, I'm not. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Yeah, I got that right. Yeah. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Go. I hate getting put on the spot. Some of y'all are going to come up to me after the service. I have met you. I have said your name, Brother Ryan. I have said your name, Brother Eric. Is that right? No, I got Brother Brad. He was in the sound booth. Where'd you go? Oh, skipping out. Eric? Who's in the blue shirt back here? Aaron. I'm sorry, brother. Aaron. Miss Dorothy and Miss Donica, right? Did I get that right? All right. I met some of y'all. All right. Sanctification means set apart. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, H-O-L-Y. Is that what it says? Holy. Not completely, W-H-O-L-L-Y. My wife's an English major. I'm not. I misspell words all the time. Holy. You present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse number 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So here we're to be sanctified, set apart. So God says, Thomas, says, I see you where you're at. I don't know anything about this sports team, otherwise I'd make a joke about that, right? Is that, I'm going to guess that's Michigan State football. Just Michigan. Is it football? Did I even get the sport right?
Yes.
But it's all kinds. It's college ball, whatever. So it could be college basketball. See? Whew. If I just name a sport and college team, okay, yeah, it's the curling team, whatever. Right? You do curling, you know, push a little bit. Yeah. We're to be sanctified, set apart, but it's got to be done by God and God's way. That means you can go anywhere you want, Thomas. Go ahead. I have in my mind where I want you to be, but you go ahead and go anywhere you want. And I'll tell you to stop. Don't go back to your seat. That'll work. You just want to wander around, right? Most people do, right? Every Christian, we just kind of want to wander around, not go where God wants. But Thomas, now I just had shoulder surgery on my right shoulder, okay? But I'm going to pick you up on my right shoulder. Lean over. Help me out here. Thomas, God has a plan and a purpose for you in your life. Thomas, God doesn't want you wandering around. God wants you right behind that pulpit. The Lord may want you to preach the Word of God. You go ahead and wander around. God's going to say, I want you to be sanctified, set apart. You understand? Set. Not wandering, set apart. All right, Thomas, have a seat. Folks, I'm going to prove it to you by this one verse. God's plan, God's design, God's way, by God. I'm going to ask you to repeat a prayer, all right? There was my message. Excuse me. I gave you the illustration. Quoted a verse. We're going to go look at one here in a minute. About 30 seconds. I want you to repeat a prayer with me, okay? It's called the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to turn, because I don't have the whole thing memorized. I'm going to turn to the Lord's Prayer. And I'm going to read it while you quote it, okay? So when I say, ready, begin, that's when I want you to start. The Lord's Prayer. Ready? Begin. Father, the hour has come. You ready? Okay, we'll start over. Maybe you weren't ready. All right, you ready? Here we go. Ready? Begin. Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him. Where are y'all at? Where are y'all at? See, what the world would say to the Lord's Prayer is, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. They might even go to the other one and say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Folks, if Jesus Christ had to pray that sample prayer that he taught his disciples to pray, then he wouldn't have been God, and he wouldn't have been able to shed his blood, because he asked for forgiveness of sin in that prayer, and God, with his sinless blood, could not have sinned. Therefore, it's not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is found in John 17, 17, or John 17, the entire chapter. But what I want to focus in on tonight is verse number 17. You turn in your Bibles there. I'm going to go back and pull some of that information out that I've already shared with you and give you this concept about sanctification. You and I may have a desire. You and I may feel. You and I may think, well, This is the way I believe the Word of God says. We don't have that option, folks. We don't have the option to say, well, God's Word is open to interpretation. No, it's not. God's Word is sealed, folks. It's sealed. You can't say that the Word of God is open to interpretation and say, well, Brother Holiday, that's true for you, but it's not true for me. Okay. No, that's fine. You may be able to show me some things from the Word of God, but you better keep it in context. And you better define it with the Word of God. I don't care what your favorite commentator said, although he may have had some good insight. I don't care what your favorite novel said, although it may have been some good principles. I want to know, thus saith the Lord. When you're going to change my doctrine on something, you better show me from the Word of God how it's wrong, and then show me how I need to change, and then I'll change. I'm not saying I've got the whole world figured out, folks, but when I have a question, I go to one source and only one source. I might ask for some insight from some men that have been there or done that and bought the T-shirt, probably not the Michigan shirt, but whatever. Like I said, I don't know anything about sports, so whatever dig, I don't worry about that. I'm ignorant. I don't know nothing about soccer. All right. John 17:17, Jesus Christ praying to his Father says, sanctify them. Again, sanctification is by God, God's way. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The amazing thing is, church, if we want to be set apart for God, this is all we need to read. This is all we need to study. This is all we need to wrap our minds around. For my Bible theologian here, the one that's so good at memorizing verses, how many books are in this Bible? Let's go with somewhere between 65 and 67. Just shoot it right in the middle. 66 books. It's amazing. Amazing that God gives us everything we need for life in 66 books. Problem is, we don't read it. We don't study it. We don't meditate on it. We certainly don't do what Psalm 119:105 says, Pastor, and hide it in our heart. Everything we do for the Lord has to be done by God and God's way, and He's got a plan and a purpose right here in His written word, church. You and I just need to spend more time in it. Amen. Hope it was an encouragement to you tonight. Let's pray, and then I'll turn the service over to the pastor. It is 6:32. I've taken 2 extra minutes of, I don't know, let's say 100 people's time. That means I wasted 200 minutes tonight. I apologize. I hope it's been a blessing to you. I'm going to say amen after the prayer, and I'll shut up. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you, Lord, and thank you again for the day. Thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would use your word that was spoken tonight, Lord, and impress upon our hearts.